Coming up on Supernatural Confessions.
Behind there was a jar of liquid with a fetus inside. I swear to God, it's a fetus. Player.
Supernatural.
Is anyone here?
Confessions.
Can you please give us a sign?
Supernatural. Confessions.
Hello, and welcome to Supernatural Confessions, our weekly podcast where we feature and discuss all things supernatural, especially here in Singapore and Southeast Asia. We cover the myths, the urban legends, the superstitions, and most importantly, your personal encounters with the paranormal. I'm your host, Timo, inviting you to share your stories with us on our Facebook page or on our website, supernaturalconfessions.com. This episode features clips from our live show, which I host with Supernatural Confessions founder, Eugene Tay, streaming Friday nights at 10 on FB Live. To catch it in full, search for Supernatural Confessions and like us on Facebook. And now, on to the show.
Supernatural Confessions.
Our first confession comes from Grandma Tan. Narrating her story will be radio DJ Charmaine Poir.
I remember when my grandchildren were at the age of 5 to 7 years old, they will always stay over at my place during the school holidays. As they loved to wade and play in a bathtub, I made an inbuilt bathtub in the master room toilet, especially for them. It was during the 7th month, one day, they came over as usual for the weekends. And this was when my granddaughter filled the tub with water and climbed into the tub. I went into the toilet in the kitchen to prepare towels for them. Suddenly, I heard one of my grandsons shouting, "Ama! Ama!" I went as far as I can into the master bedroom to see what happened. I saw my granddaughter drowning as though she had a leg cramp and couldn't climb out. I tried to pull her out, but I couldn't, so I kept screaming, "Relax, don't pull." It was only after a while we managed to bring her out. I checked how she was, and I saw a handprint, as though someone pulled her into the water. My granddaughter told me someone pulled her into the water. I was scared, because both my grandsons were still preparing, so I know it wasn't a prank. I spoke to my husband, and we decided to invite a spiritual practitioner up to ask what happened. The spiritual practitioner did a ritual and sealed the toilet door with talisman and told us not to remove the talisman or open the door or use the toilet anymore. I was told that the previous female owner died inside the toilet. From that day on, the room was also out of bounds to everyone until we moved out.
Hearing the story brings back the goose all over again, man. If you guys want to check out my personal story that I had a similar experience, go down to our podcast, Supernatural Confessions Podcast. Just search it on it for Spotify. Look out for episode number 8. I still can remember that very clearly. It's called Don't Go Swimming During Hungry Ghost Month. And I had a very similar experience. I was a young kid. I went swimming during 7th month when everyone said don't go. And we know that's what grandparents say. We know that's what folklore say. Don't go swimming during 7 months. But the logical side of our head usually tells us, well, that's all old wives' tales. What's the worst that can happen?
Don't ever ask that question, by the way. What's the worst that could happen, okay?
And a lot of people have came with that similar stories. I have my own stories. And this particular story about the bathtub and bruises around the leg, there seems to be a connection between water spirits, and young children especially, or even adults, I guess. And 7th month, the idea behind why this ghost will pull you down and try to drown you is because most of these spirits cannot reincarnate unless they take the position of someone else. And that's why they try to kill you to be in your position. But thankfully, the grandchildren did not die and it was a bathtub. But even then, you might think of, oh, it's bathtub, it's shallow, it's not like the ocean. But when spirits wants to kill you, they can, and they can make it look like an accident.
So once again, the reminder, Hungry Ghost Festival is going to be happening very, very soon. If you're going to go swimming, make sure you go with somebody who can help you out, okay? Now here's a question. When you go swimming, is it like out at sea, or you shouldn't go swimming even in swimming pools and bathed up? Then how?
Okay, so as long as it's a body of water, there's two sides of the school of thought here. One, as E.T. will tell you, like a body of water creates some form of energy field, and that's when a lot of spirits can be empowered to do things. I believe that most of these spirits who are residing in the water is because in that area they are deaf. And maybe to even cross over with what E.T. has felt, that the energy level in water makes it easier for these spirits to do things. And most of the times, if you find spirits who want to drown you during 7 months, it's because there is a death in that situation. And in the story of the one that's been, that grandma, they discovered that a lady has died in that toilet. So she cannot escape. She cannot get out. The only way she can reincarnate is to take on someone else's body.
How about bathed up?
I guess.
Does that mean we shouldn't even take a long bath during a Hungry Ghost?
Well, if you buy a second-hand house and someone has died in the exact toilet, then maybe not, lah. Not advisable, lah.
Supernatural Confessions.
Our main story features a confession from Lee, a tale that will leave you both a little hungry and reluctant to attend your next stayover party.
I have this friend, she's Thai, so we'll call her Anne. She lives in Singapore, and her sister also married an expat. He's actually European. Her sister has one son from a previous marriage who is also pure Thai. We will call him Jay. So Jay's age is very close to Anne. They're like probably 3-4 years apart only, because the sister is way older than Anne. So Anne and Jay became very close friends of mine, and we used to hang out very frequently. So there was one time where Anne and Jay like told me, "Hey, come over to my sister's place, come over to my mom's place, because she's going to go back to her husband's country with the kids, with my stepbrothers and sisters for 2 weeks." So they asked us to homesit. So Jay doesn't live with his mom, because I think it's just weird to stay with like a bunch of toddlers and your stepfather lah, when you are like 19. And they are actually very well-known people in Thailand. Their family owns clubs and hotels that probably a lot of Singaporeans have stepped into when they are in Thailand. So I said, okay, why not, you know? Then they were like, let's have a Thai ghost movie night. Which, okay lah, you watch Thai movies with Thais, no problem. We made a list of DVDs that we're going to rent.
Yeah.
And then we headed over to her sister's place. So the thing about the sister's place is in a very prominent part of Orchard, it's in Cane Hill. Yeah, and this is a corner unit. The first thing that hit me, right, it felt like nobody has lived there for like 20 years.
Okay.
It's so dark. There's this musky smell in the air. You know how like you enter like a house maybe that hasn't been inhabited for like two years or something, three?
Yeah.
So it doesn't feel like there were people currently living there.
Feels like the windows hadn't been opened in a very long time, right? No air has
but
come in.
But the windows are open. It's just that it is actually a very big and spacious house, but it's cluttered.
Yeah.
Okay, so you enter the house, the first thing you see is the wall across the door. Boom, all Borongan masks. So other than those masks, there are other like those high tea masks. They just look voodooish and wooden, you know.
Yeah.
Then there's also that Japanese long nose thing demon. We actually went to the kitchen, put our groceries down because we were going to cook, right? So I went there, and I remember to this day, we were going to make 40 meatballs. There were 8 of us, 5 for everybody. So after making and cooking the meatballs, we decided to go out on the balcony.
Yeah.
We had our cigarette. I went back and I was going to surf the food, and then we were going to eat and start our movie night. And there were only 2 meatballs left.
Okay.
38 meatballs went missing.
What, just like that?
Just like that. I know it sounds so stupid and so ridiculous.
Wow.
But there were only 2 meatballs left.
And all of you actually had gone out to have a cigarette. There was nobody who was left in the home who might have nicked your meatballs.
Nobody. And I can tell you this, who the hell would eat 38 meatballs in 5 minutes? Even if one of them had slipped away from the balcony to steal meatballs, it didn't strike me that something awkward or weird was going on. I was just like, I thought maybe like Well, then quickly sweep all the meatballs into a plastic bag and, like, you know, just to scare the f*** out of me or something. Yep. But the other two who were with me cooking, they were like, nobody came in the kitchen. And I was like, then where the hell are the meatballs? Yeah. And then N and J came into the kitchen and they were like, what? I was like, I made 40 meatballs and 38 are missing.
Yeah.
And they were like, never mind, let's order McDonald's.
The way they reacted is like they're not surprised. Okay, never mind, let's just order McDonald's.
Yeah, it's like situation control, swiftly moving on, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to think so much about it, because to me, right, why would my friend bring me into a haunted house? No, right? Okay, there's no way that would happen. Mm. And we're such good friends, you don't do me like that. Yeah. So I was like, okay, then I guess let's order McDonald's. And then, like, we just eat spaghetti with sauce at the like while waiting. Okay, this house is freaking huge. So right on the left side of the entrance of the kitchen, there is a recess area, kind of like a dining area, I think it's supposed to be, and a staircase. So it's a two-story apartment complex. And two of my friends walked out from the area and they looked so pale. I was like, what happened? Hmm. Why do you look like this? And they were like, the cupboards inside got super weird things. I was like, what cupboards? And then when you look at that recess area, the dining area, right, it looks like a locker room. Square cabinets, just rows and rows mounted on the wall. And this was when N and J came out of the kitchen and they were like, don't touch the cabinets, don't open anything. So I was like, I didn't want to ask them what they saw inside the cabinets. So I just decided, this is so stressful, I'm just going to sit down. So right above the TV in the living room, I sat there to take a rest. There's a family portrait of Anne's sister.
Yeah.
And I tell you, she's probably one of the most cliche but beautiful Thai women you've ever seen. That looks very evil. She got a classic evil stepmother face, you know. Well, it's like she's right there in the room boring her eyes into you. So I don't know why, I felt very pressurized by the photo. So I didn't want to sit right in front of that portrait. So I like started moving around, like, you know, shuffling here and there. We ordered McDonald's and then nothing really happened, right? 1 hour went, 2 hours went. I was like, dude, where's the McDonald's? At this time, we haven't even started drinking yet or watching movies. So I was like, where's the McDonald's? And they were like, yeah, where's the McDonald's? So one of them receives a call a few minutes later and the McDonald's guy says, hey, I've been up to like this level. So the level that your home is at, like 4 or 5 times and I just cannot find your unit. Which is strange, right? Because right in front of the lift.
Wow.
So I was like, is there another annex or another wing that, you know, another lift lobby that you can access this block by? They were like, no, this is the only one. It's very straightforward.
Okay.
And so we were like, okay, why not we wait for you in front of the lift? So we just literally step out of the house and stand on at the lift lobby. Yeah. And then the door opens and he looks at us and he's like, I really come out here, I never see your gate.
What?
Is there?
All right, that just reminds me of that term, you know, the 鬼遮眼, right? Ghost cover your eyes.
It was really strange because he actually went out and asked the guard house, like, I'm trying to find this unit, can you help me get there? The guard actually walked him to the lift lobby, the same lift lobby that he actually went up twice already.
Yeah.
And he went up and he couldn't find, so he went down and he said, guard, I really cannot find this house, so can you bring me up? And then the guard brought him up. When the lift door opened, the guard said, there, you turn left. And then the guard closed the lift and went down. And then he's like, no, the house is not here.
So maybe the guard also didn't know where the house was.
I think the guard knew where the house was, but I think the guard didn't know exactly what was going on, maybe.
Yeah.
So he passes the McDonald's and he was like, thank you, guys. You can tell he's a bit shaken. But being the skeptic that I am, I still like taking a pinch of salt lah.
Okay.
And then we went back. So we started our movie night and then we were watching Phobia and eating our McDonald's. So we were full. And then we decided, okay, let's drink alcohol. We're going to raid your sister's alcohol cabinet. It's this huge wooden cabinet, rows and rows of alcohol. So I still remember till today, I spotted the Bombay Sapphire. I was like, I'm going to have this. So I took the Bombay Sapphire out and then behind there was another bottle of alcohol. And then my friend was like, I want that one. So she took it. And then when she took it, you notice behind there was a jar of liquid with a fetus inside. I swear to God, it's a fetus.
No.
It's a fetus. It's like yellowish urinate, like cloudish urination colored liquid.
Okay.
It's a fetus inside.
Did you guys take it out to look at it?
Hell no, of course not.
You were close enough to see exactly what it was.
It's like probably 30 cm in front of my face. Wow. You know when you bend down in front of a cabinet and take alcohol out?
Yeah.
And then passing, and then there's just this thing right smack in front of my face. And then two friends came over and they were like, what the hell is that? And then they started taking like the other bottles out. This was when N and J said, you see, you don't touch. You see, you just don't touch. Leave it there. Don't touch it.
Okay.
I tell you, there was a whole row, probably like 12 of those bottles with like a tiny suspended fetus inside. And I didn't know what to make of it. Maybe, I don't know, this guy is a medical examiner. I don't know what he works as, but, right? The husband of the older sister.
Yeah.
So we just left it as that. And then I was so shaken. In fact, just recalling this, like right now, my hands are cold and shaking.
Okay.
So we went back to the balcony, and the friend who saw the first bottle with me, she stood on the balcony and she was like, I think we just take a break and smoke. So we stood there, and then N and J come to the balcony and join us. They were like, we are sorry. I was like, why are you sorry? I said, we should be sorry. I mean, we were like touching like your sister's stuff without her knowledge. And, you know, we should be sorry. They were like, no, we didn't tell you something. Sister does strange things. I was like, what do you mean by strange things? They're like, just know that it's strange, lah. I was like, okay. So I just left it as that.
Before you carry on, at this point, when you saw those fetuses, you guys had not had any alcohol yet, right?
No, we only had ice Milo and Coke from McDonald's.
Okay, all right.
So I stood on the balcony and I had a cigarette, and my friend, she was actually one of those that went to open the cupboards at the dining area. She was like, hey, I think let's go home. I was like, why? We're supposed to stay the night. You know, in my head, I was still out game for like a fun night. By now, it's already like probably 11 p.m. And she was like, you know, when I opened those cupboards, I saw toys, Yakult, small dolls. It's just uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be here. Then I said to her, like, maybe like, you know, it's the kids' stuff because they have 3 toddlers. And she was like, no, they are like small otters and those things are offerings. And at that point of time, I live in a world where I do not know what all this like xiao gui and all this is. Like, I don't know what kumantong all this is. I really do not know. She's like, you really don't know that you can keep fetuses of dead babies to keep their spirits and bind them to you. And oh, my hair stand. And I was like, that's not possible. She was like, no, really can. After that, I just decided I'm going to stay because I promised N and J. And I think it would be so rude to suddenly just leave, right? So I think the next 1-2 hours went by quite uneventfully. And then like I started walking around the house. And then I noticed there was a baby cot at the corner. So I went to look into the baby cot and there were like dolls inside.
Understandable, they have 3 toddlers in the house, right?
Yeah, they have 3 toddlers, correct. And you know, it's the creepy doll that when you like put down, it says mama, it opens its eyes.
Oh, right, okay, yeah.
Yeah, the old school one. And I haven't seen that doll since I was a child. I wanted to see if this one would say mama when you put it down. So when I was reaching and my friend shouted, this doesn't belong to my siblings.
Oh.
Just don't touch it.
This doesn't belong to my siblings.
You know, at this point, right, suddenly it clicked in me, there's all sorts of shit going on in this house. There's some hocus pocus. But I think it's still being bound by, like, the culture of, like, you know, someone invited you to their place. You can just, like, make an excuse and, like, hey, your house is creepy as I'm going.
Okay.
So I was like, okay, I'm just not going to touch anything anymore. So we finished up, and then it was about 3-4 a.m. We decided to retire for the night, and I was going to take, like, the siblings' rooms. I went up the stairs, and when you go up the stairs, you realize that there's another separate small living area apart from the bedroom. And this whole area was obscured by muslin cloth. And when I turned and looked, Anne said to me, there are some things you shouldn't like be curious about in a way where like, you know, see no evil, hear no evil. Okay. And I went into the room and then we slept and nothing happened that night to me, but the two who went to like touch the cupboards and touch the bottle with the fetus inside, right? they woke up the next morning and they were crying, and they were like, we don't know if we were sleeping or dreaming, but two of them experienced like kids jumping on their bed while they were sleeping. God, my goosebumps are all up now.
Both of them, they're not sure if they were dreaming.
Yeah, they're not sure if they were dreaming because it felt like sleep paralysis, but not because no one's sitting on them, but they just can feel kids laughing and jumping and screaming in Thai.
Now, all of you guys were in the same room.
No, we slept in three different rooms.
Okay, so the two,
they slept in one room alone.
Okay, and they slept next to each other on the same bed.
They slept on the same bed and they can feel like kids jumping all around.
So it's a bit hard to blame it on a dream, because how often are you going to have two people who have exactly the same dream experience?
Precisely. Yeah. So even up to then, I still don't want to like believe anything. It's strange, you know. Yeah. My meatballs went missing, my McDonald's couldn't come. So the next day, while we were having breakfast, Anne said to Jay, I think we go home. We just come in the day and like clean up. Your mom wouldn't know we didn't stay, but yeah, just clean up, like tidy up. So we had breakfast, cleaned up the house, and then we left. And when we left, Anne was like, I need to tell you something. You want to come over to my place? I was like, okay. So I went over to her place. The other five left. I went back with Anne and Jay to their place, and they were like, she and Jay have suspected for a very long time that the sister does black magic. But she doesn't want to go and ask, and she's very frightened of her sister. Jay is very frightened of his mother. And I said to them, like, I think you already know what I know before I know. You just don't want to admit it. Because in my heart, you have all these different demon masks hanging on your wall. Who decorates their house like that when they have toddlers at home?
How can they say that they suspect but they don't know? Clearly, they knew enough to be able to yell, don't touch that, it doesn't belong to my siblings.
I don't want to go and think so much about it, lah.
Yeah.
You know, at that point of time, it was so frightening. And then this is the boom part. So remember the part where the muslin was?
The muslin cloth, yeah.
Yes. When I was looking at it, she actually told me, don't look. And I was like, okay. What I didn't reveal to anyone before that was that I actually saw a silhouette of a woman combing her hair. And the woman is naked. You can tell she's stark naked.
Was it bright in the room? Is that why you could see through the cloth?
No, it was dim because, you know, you on like those down lights in the hallway.
Yeah.
So it shines enough light to cast like silhouette and some color. So you can tell like, you know, whether it got clothes or not. Because if you know clothes, it would be black, right? Who the hell would be wearing a nude bodysuit around, right?
Yeah.
But I know that person does not belong to the group of eight of us. Whether it's a living person or not, I don't want to think about it. Whether she was the one who took my 38 meatballs and ran up the stairs to eat it.
Yeah.
I do not know who she is. Because after this, Jay suddenly just disappeared from our lives. Like, he just lost contact. And this family has this habit of just disappearing, reappearing. And even Anne, she got married, moved to another country. She, over the years, she sent me 2-3 Facebook messages saying like, hey, I am in this country with my husband. She doesn't allow me to have Facebook. And then she sign disappears. And then she's like, my husband found a previous Facebook. Help, I just had a son. And then cut off again. And this just went on for years. And till today, I do not know exactly where she is and how she is.
You are not alone. Supernatural Confessions.
Big thank you to Lee for sharing that story with us. Coming up, veteran paranormal investigator E.T. joins us to analyze the case. But first, for added insight, Supernatural Confessions also reached out to spiritual practitioner Ajahn Joe, who specializes in Thai spiritual and religious practices.
So basically, the way I analyze through my personal experience, okay, there's only two things that I can emphasize on. Basically, for keeping such baby fetuses as a form of spiritual guardians is very common culture in Thai people. Actually, this baby fetus is commonly known as kumantong. The most traditional and ancient way, according to the magic book, is using raw material, meaning a dead baby, you know. They will actually enhance a person's desire or needs in many ways. Some people use it for enhance their personal sixth sense, for personal protection against harms, all kind of harms. And actually, it also bring wealth to you, especially when you're doing business. If they are very rich and they are having such item to support, is a very common thing in Thailand. But nowadays, Thailand itself is a Buddhist country, you see. The government actually banned such way of creating a kumbantong. But there are cases due to market demand. When you talk about demand, meaning you can actually sell for a very, very high price, easily maybe 3 to 5K Sing dollars, you know. In general, there are masters who wanted to make a fortune. So they will find all means and ways to go and gather such baby fitters, you know. They even go to the hospital to bribe, you know, the nurse to bring out. Or there are some doctors, gynae, you know, they do abortion for their customers, and then they, under the table, they sell all these things to those spiritual practitioners. The important thing is, during the process of making this look god kumbantong, the process need to be cleansed. If it's not cleansed, it's going to be dangerous for the person who own it. Okay, especially those ordinary people, because they are not practitioner, it's difficult to control. These are the range we usually mention. Look god is the most powerful range among all the kumbantong. My point of view is, your friend have a very interesting experience, which I think they don't have to panic. But it's normal for them to panic because they are not into all this. By having offerings like, you know, toy, sweet, candy, you know, all those offerings for the kumbantong or lukot, this is a must. So come back to the loss of the 38 meatballs. Maybe due to the fact is the house is being emptied for too long. So a proper offering was not given to all these lukots or kumbantong, and they got no choice. You know, kids, they bound to hungry, they need food. So maybe they do something in the kitchen, you know, to make the meatball all gone, went missing. From my point of view, actually they are rather harmless. If it was made by a proper master, it's rather harmless. You see, they just quite curious, you know, this baby spirit, they are curious that, hey, we got visitors, you know, why don't we have fun? That's why maybe the two friends, they actually dream about having kids jumping on the bed, all this. But end of the day, they did not dream about the kids, the baby kids is strangling them, you know. You know, they come up with the kind of ghostly face to frighten them. They just want to have fun. Because kids, they behave like kids. So in general, my personal opinion and advice for the public, if you are not well-trained, you are not a practitioner, please do not try. Because you do not know the source and the maker's process, whether is it genuine or not. Because the public like to buy something through their naked eyes, surface info that, oh, this thing is good, this thing will enhance my business, enhance my human affinity, this one can enhance my sixth sense, maybe I can gamble my way, you know, with lots of profit coming back home. It doesn't mean that those people who promote in the internet that this master is good, is limited edition, blah blah blah, they are not well trained, they are not practitioners. It's better not to get something like this, you know, get something more common found in the temple. It's very interesting because it's very hard to get 12 water, if I don't recall wrongly, 12 water, because every single one of them is very, very expensive. Another issue that your friend, the host, brought up, she witnessed a lady spirit combing her hair, you know, naked. This one is very, very common in Thai areas because especially when there is not enough people staying in that house, you are lacking of positive energy. So it might attract some negative energy coming into the house. And it can be somebody who used to stay there and then pass away, you know, long time ago, and their spirit still remain. I'm not surprised because I myself have come across lots of interesting scenario, you know, myself. Don't be afraid. But the final advice, if you are not familiar with such things, don't go and touch it. Just see, act blur, and move on. Don't be curious about spiritual stuff because some item is beyond your knowledge to handle. If I were them, if I see all those things, even though I'm a master, I will just put my hands together and respect and say, since I'm staying here, please be nice to me, don't disturb me, you know. I just want to come here for holiday, blah, 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 and so on. Okay, you guys are cute. Okay, then close back the cupboard. Don't go and out of curiosity, keep looking at it, you know, touch it, you know. It's not some kind of ornament for you to, you know, to be engrossed with. I think it's not healthy. Sometimes the rich people, what they will do is they will keep such thing as, like I say, as a protection purposes, because they are not staying there long or not very regular or frequent there. So the house is big. In order to protect their property, sometimes they do keep such spirit according to their preference, and this thing will roam freely in that particular house. So luckily everybody is safe, you know, your host and her friends are safe. There's no big issue, then congratulations. Okay, hopefully my opinion sharing is interesting for everyone. Okay, everybody, okay, have a nice evening and a nice weekend. Bye.
The lady in the story, I felt she was really, really calm. After so many things that happened, right, she still wanted to stay the night. The funny thing is, this time I really couldn't pick out anything that science could explain. The only thing was the muslin cloth. As you know, it's this like white cloth, and it's a bit translucent kind of thing. And with the darkness of the house, I'm really not sure if her experience that happened the night and then seeing the muslin cloth could make her imagine that she actually saw a figure, maybe due to shadows and stuff like that. But other than that, I really couldn't come up with anything that science could really explain. You know, one of the rare times, right? So the master was speaking a bit about Kumantong, which is really interesting. Like he said that the Lukok, okay, basically it's the stronger form of the Kumantong. Apparently it's conjured via black magic, while the Kumantong is conjured by white magic. So what's interesting is it's how this place seems to be a nursery for black magic stuff, black or white magic and stuff like that. Maybe that's why, as in what the master said, at least some people said that whatever they've been practicing might have contributed to their so-called business success or their prosperity and stuff like that. So apparently the Kumantong, supposed to bring you luck and prosperity, Lukok also, but it's a bit stronger. And what's interesting was the lady Lee, she actually went, and she's really brave to look into that baby cot, and she saw that doll, right? So that doll might not be what we think it is, as in many times we think that it's there for the child spirit. But if you guys actually read up on Thai culture, there's this very strong culture and this thing called Luk Tip. Have you guys heard of Luk Tip?
No, what is a Luk Tip?
Okay, Luk Tip, it means child angel. So basically, it's just like any toy doll. The difference is the Luk Tip, the conjurer actually invites the spirit to possess this doll. So it's a bit different from the Kumantong. It's already there. It's manufactured by whatever factory, maybe Mattel or whatever. I really don't know. And then you ask the spirit to actually possess that doll. Okay. So the Luk Tip is very popular in Thailand. It's so popular that I think it's a domestic airline, Thai Smile. They actually allow you to buy seats for these dolls. And they actually need to be buckled up before flying. Okay, this is pre-COVID, by the way. So I don't know if they are required to wear a face mask and you know, a face shield at the moment. So one is actually a doll. A Kumantong, actually how it's being created in the past is actually quite gruesome. What they do is actually they take a fetus or maybe of an aborted child, and they actually grill the baby. They grill the fetus, yeah. So there's this thing, so there are two things that they get out from it. So when they grill it, apparently the face area is where we have the most oil glands, right? So when they grill it, what happens is oil drips down to the chin and they collect that oil, and it's actually called chin oil. So apparently that chin oil is a very powerful thing, but that's for another day. And what is left over is that dried up remains of that fetus. And that, they will lacquer it, and they'll paste some like a gold leaf, and there you have a Kumantong. So apparently a Kumantong, it means golden little boy. So the little fetus, together with the gold leaf, gives it the name of Kumantong.
All right. Now, earlier on, you did mention that the Kumantong is actually produced by white magic. Now, the Luk Kok is with black or dark magic. Is it also prepared in the same way? I mean, obviously, there are other probably chants and spiritual practices that they do, but do they also grill it, extract the oil, and cover it in gold leaf as well?
The concept creation is done a little bit different, and from what I understand from Ajahn Jo, the Lok Kok is really more for black magic, where you bind the soul to this realm and you're not giving it any form of merits to ascend. You are really a master-slave kind of connection. It's dried up, not so much grill. When I think of grill, I think of baby back ribs, but I think this is more of drying it up, extracting the oil and with candles and fire. So you're right, maybe it's like grilling, but really to dry it up so you can paint it with gold. If you do it in Thailand, or sometimes if you are a farmer and you're in poor area, they're actually going for a very high price.
Yeah, I can imagine. But thank you for that, Eugene. I will never eat baby back ribs ever again. Thank you for that wonderful analogy.
Supernatural Confessions.
In tonight's main feature, Lee shared a story about a house-sitting party. Epic and memorable, but for all the wrong reasons. We've talked about the Thai Kumantong and Lok Kok, but E.T. believes it might be a completely different entity responsible for Lee's strange encounter.
From what I understand, that a Kumantong and the Lok Kok, as well as the child angel spirit, all this brings you luck, brings you prosperity and stuff.
Good fortune.
It's more like a positive thing, doesn't disturb and stuff like that. So, which actually made me realize when I was analyzing, I listened to that track, I think about 5 times. And then I was just thinking, it really sounds a lot like the Malayan Toyol.
Certain
things that happen. Okay, so for a few things. Number one, as we said earlier, we showed the Kumantong and as well as the child angel. They were more either a doll or encapsulated fetus. But when Lee's friends found the things behind the alcohol, it was like jars with fetuses inside. That, to me, the first thing that came to my head was it might be a toyol. Usually toyols are usually kept in jars with liquid and stuff, and usually kept in dark areas, which is, it sounds exactly like how they found it. And then they usually offerings, like sweets, milk. I think this is similar to the doll spirit as well as the Kumantong and stuff. But the only difference is apparently with a toyol, it needs to feed the blood off the big toe of its keeper. Why I think it's a toyol? Because toyol are always this mischievous little child spirit which carries out whatever the keepers ask them to do, and the word here is always mischief, which is in line with how that McDelivery guy kind of got lost, although he went to that area, how the meatballs got eaten or stolen. So it really boils down to me, I feel it's a bit of the toyol, but the things that are there seems to be a bit of everything. You know, and probably that's how it brought prosperity and stuff like that. Yeah.
Okay, do you think that perhaps those fetuses were, as the Ajahn actually told us, the raw material? Perhaps they had been accumulated or they had been found and they were awaiting processing. Because like you mentioned, when it comes to Kumantongs, they got to go through a certain process. You know, they've got to be put over a fire, they've got to be grilled, they've got to have, you know, gold leaf plastered on them. Perhaps they were Kumantongs in waiting for preparation.
I mean, that could be a possibility, but for what I know, they usually process quite fast. I mean, they're pretty valuable, and I don't think they'll keep it there for some time, and then, you know, you need to age it like whiskey for like 12 years or 18 years, and then get a stronger one. I think it's about the conjurer than about aging, aging a spirit.
What about you, Eugene? We want to give you the final word on this case.
Sure. Well, it's one of those rare occasions that E.T. and I are on the same page. The only difference is, I don't think this is so much a toyol. I do understand how toyol functions, and toyol, kui zai, all the children's spirit tend to function similar ways. And in fact, in Asia, I think across borders and across boundaries, a lot of these practices have kind of overlapped. My personal takeaway, guys, my sense is that this thing in the jar is a Lok Kok. It's more of a black magic, nefarious means to tie down these spirits. Akumantong is very mild, it's very peaceful. It doesn't appear to be in a very visual state of desecration, if you could call it that. And while the things like the white urn, the toy and all that are also very similar with Kumantong, and that's where most people actually get mixed up between Kumantong and Lok Kok or even Lok Tip. But I mean, Lok Tip is a doll itself, so that's not so hard to differentiate. But a Lok Kok really is a black magic, nefarious means to tie down a spirit. You're not bringing him up to any level, you're not releasing his spirit to reincarnate at all. But for Kumantong, you are. So for this, what we are seeing, the exact liquid and how a Lok Kok was filled in a jar is very similar to what I feel they have experienced in that house. So their wealth, they have been taking it through black magic, occultic means. And I think the sister is exploring a lot of things. She has different masks on the wall, different culture on the wall. So it may not be too far-fetched to even imagine what E.T. has said. This is a Toyo / KMT / local. Because the sister who's into black magic might be actually experimenting with this. What to me was the biggest takeaway is to smuggle even one fetus through Thailand borders into Singapore is actually very tough. And it's very costly, as what Ajahn Joe has said. 3,000, 4,000, even 5,000. To smuggle 12, that is very, very costly.
Supernatural confessions. Don't look behind you.
And that concludes this episode of Supernatural Confessions. If you've enjoyed the show, please consider giving us a 5-star rating or review wherever you're listening from. Supernatural Confessions, the podcast, is free to listen to on Apple, Spotify, Google, and wherever podcasts are played. You can also share our podcast and our content with your friends and help us grow our network of Supernatural fans and enthusiasts. For more information on what we do and where we do it, like us on Facebook and visit supernaturalconfessions.com. Until our next installment, my name is Tim O, and this is Supernatural Confessions.
Supernatural.